welcome to the Try Catch podcast, sponsored by EI2. We are starting a new series called Back to School, in which we chat with folks within the Farm Credit Services of America network and ask them how they are furthering their education and how it impacts them from day to day. My name is Gabby Colson, and I will be your host for today's episode. We are gathered here with Ted, who is a business analyst within our business technology group. Ted, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hello, Gabby. So Ted Kaufman, I am, as you said, business analyst with CRM, so Customer Relation Management, more informally known as Salesforce. We go by many names, though. So I am business analyst and scrum master, essentially, for the thing.
Nice. Okay. So in honor of our kind of new series, Back to School, what program or course, I guess, are you taking and what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah. So currently I'm enrolled in a MS. So I'm working my master's in business intelligence and analytics at Creighton University. And today we're going to be talking about a intro to conflict engagement class that I took.
Nice. Awesome. Okay. So let's start it off. What are your favorite aspects of the class or the program?
So favorite aspect, I think, is just taking that time to really do a deep dive into various topics and to really kind of dive into our own like mental models and understanding what is it that we default to in cases and mm-hmm. really taking some time to reflect on that and understand how our minds actually work is the aspect that I love the most, probably.
Yeah. Nice. So what are some challenges of the program that you found?
Biggest challenge, higher education has this new trend that they try to do everything in a much more condensed format. Mm-hmm. So you used to have about 16 weeks to get through like a graduate class at Creighton University. Then they started shrinking that down into 12-week increments.
Wow.
And then after that, they actually shrank it down into 8 weeks. So the current 8-week increment. But if you think about it, 8 weeks, 2 months. So there's advantages to that. The advantage is it's over very quick. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, you are trying to dive in and really understand material at a very deep level in a very crunched time frame,
yeah.
while also trying to manage work responsibilities, personal responsibilities,
yeah.
life responsibilities. And so it's just a bit of a challenge when the class gears up with how do you fully engage while not being overwhelmed in the process.
Right. So how do you balance that? A work-life, school, everything else balance?
Perfectly. I balance it absolutely perfectly. There is no tension, no stress.
Yeah.
some different things that I found is beneficial is often actually I'll reach out to the professor ahead of time and just kind of say, hey, would you mind, like ideally, could you give me like a syllabus that you're mm-hmm. going to do? And if not, could you just tell me like the major textbook that we're going to read? And that way then that gives me the chance to buy the textbook a few weeks in advance and just get kind of front load or start to go through some of that material and just allow my head to have some time to start to take in the information. And I'm a very, for myself anyways, I find I'm a very reflective learner.
Right.
And so I like to read something, but then I like to have some time to actually reflect on it mm-hmm. Before I start to write out the papers and like such. So I found that's beneficial for me. The other thing that I've kind of found too is I've been in this program, like I'm a little bit ashamed to say it, since 2017.
Hey, it takes a little bit sometimes.
It takes a little bit. I'm very excited that I'm going to be wrapping it up this semester and graduating. But one of the things that I decided early on is I figured out, wow, this just does not work for me, this super condensed format.
Right.
So another thing that I would do is I would look at, okay, is there anything like in like any kind of certifications, et cetera, that I can look for or get out of this as well? And so in some cases, like I would see that there'd be a course, for instance, on visual analytics. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what is that course going to be taught in? Oh, that course is going to be taught in Tableau. Like that's going to be the program that we're going to learn. Okay, so can I go out and can I actually look to see if there's any certifications out there? And so I would look to see, oh yeah, there's a Tableau certification that I go for. What would it look like if I tried to get that certification before I took the class?
Gotcha.
And so I would pause the program. I'd go out. I would get that certification. And then that would allow me then to absorb or apply the material that much more quickly.
Yeah.
And then when I'm done with the class, I would look in again and ask myself, is there anything that I'd like to do around this certification? So for instance, like I took a SAS programming class. Before the class, I got a basic class on SAS programming, like mm-hmm. SAS programming 101 or something. afterwards, it's like, okay, now I really understand this. What else can I do to look at here? And so there was a couple advanced certifications I worked towards.
Gotcha.
And then repeat the process. And so I think a lot of higher education, or actually any form of learning, is just figuring out what works best for you.
Very true. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about kind of the conflict engagement course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was like the biggest thing that you took away?
So I think there were two for me. So the class was NCR 620. So if you're at going to Creighton University,
there you go.
And if you want to shout out there, a little plug for NCR 620, Intro to Conflict Engagement. So the class is on conflict negotiation and facilitation, kind of the three topics that go on it. For myself, the two biggest things were, one, week one of the classes, we really kind of dove into, there was a survey that we were asked to take through the U.S. Peace Institute that provides a free conflict assessment. And so essentially you take this assessment, and the assessment will tell you which of five different types that you are. And so the types are avoider, problem solver, accommodator, compromiser, and competition.
Okay.
So which of those five are you? And like most self-assessments, the first time you take it, you're like, oh, this is hard to answer this question. Because right. You're like, okay, in this situation, I find like I want to answer it this way. But in this other situation, I want to answer it a different way.
Right.
And so I really struggled the first time to go through it. And when I got down, again, I said that I'm kind of a reflective learner. And I really kind of sat there and I said, why am I struggling so much in taking this survey? And if I'm struggling that much to taking this survey, it makes me question how accurate the results actually are. And so I spent some time thinking about that. And what it started to dawn on me is like, oh, when I'm looking at this, like there's different scenarios I'm looking at. So one is sometimes I'm thinking in my head about one-on-one conflict scenarios. Mm-hmm. Other times I'm thinking about smaller groups that I may be with.
Right.
Conflict scenarios. And then there's a third one about larger groups. So you're stuck in this room full of people and there's conflict emerging.
Right.
And so it dawned on me, why don't I try to take this survey three more times, each time just thinking about that particular thing. So either one-on-one, smaller groups, or larger groups.
Right.
And what really fascinated with me is that I default very differently in those three different scenarios.
Gotcha.
So in one-on-one conflict scenarios, I am 100% competitor. Like I am going to compete with you. Which shocked me because I'm not really like on my Clifton top
strengths. Yep.
Competitor is like one of my very low.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I'm like, but then you have to ask yourself, why is it that I default? Like, this is me answering this questionnaire.
Right.
This is how I default to it. And then you have to pause. And this is what I love about programs like this, is you really have to stop and think, what is it about myself that causes me to be a competitor first in this case?
Right.
And what I learned through that self-reflection is that often it's because relationship is like my number one or number two strength. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things is that as part of a relator is I really value one-on-one connections, but then I make an assumption, for instance, Gabby, that you are going to speak up if you want something.
Right.
Because we have built a relationship that yep. works that way. If you don't speak up, I feel very comfortable.
You know? Yeah.
So I'm just going to say what I want. And I'm making a huge assumption that you're going to speak up.
Right.
But the challenge is you may not speak up. And so that's when like I had for myself, like a really, wow, like this is huge for me. And it made me really understand that some of the fights, I've been very fortunate that my spouse and I, we've been together now for almost 15 years, uh-huh. coming up in May.
Yeah.
Shout out to Johnny. lots of shout outs in this episode. But you know, when I started to reflect back on some of the fights that we had, like I really had, and not fights, more disagreements.
Right.
But it really dawned on me that, wow, when I'm in conflict with my spouse, this is how I'm defaulting to. I am defaulting to competitiveness.
Right.
But if he doesn't default that way, then that might be part of the challenge that we have here.
Yeah.
Same thing with when I zoom out. When I look at smaller groups, I default to being a problem solver. Now, interesting enough, when I default to the larger group, I tend to be 75% avoider. So in that case, and so really understanding these defaults that I bring, and again, and the instructor was very clear up front, there's nothing right or wrong about these. If you're a competitor, fantastic for you. If you're an avoider, that is who you are.
Right.
Own it.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do with it?
Right.
And so really going through this, identifying how I default to, and then understanding the advantages and the disadvantages of each of those things.
Right.
And then also realizing, are you okay with that? Are you okay with being an avoider in larger groups? Mm-hmm. In many cases, like for myself, it is okay. How many times, Gabby, have you been in a room and you have, I don't know what you want to call them. You have the people that are just like, they want to say yes.
Right.
So it's like somebody says something and that person says the same thing and the next person says the same thing.
Yep.
And that meeting stretches on and on and on.
Kind of that groupthink.
Groupthink. Yep. Total groupthink. So in that case, I'm perfectly happy being an avoider. I don't need to reiterate what the other people have said time and time again.
Yep. It's already been established.
It's okay for me to shut up.
Yep.
On the flip side, sometimes I have to recognize that why am I being an avoider? And I'm probably being an avoider because I'm a little bit more of an introvert myself.
Yeah.
So if it's, if I'm intentionally not saying something because of groupthink and because I don't need to, because it's already been said, then that's fine. But if I catch myself not speaking up because I'm too much of an introvert, that is when I might want to actually pause and force myself to challenge myself and speak up.
Right.
And so having that realization that this is how I default too, that was very powerful for me.
Right. Well, in Clifton, like StrengthFinders, for example, too, they say, you know, number 34 isn't necessarily a weakness, right? It's just something that makes you who you are. But one thing that I've been kind of focusing on just personally is every strength even has a balcony and a basement.
Yeah,
right. So it's great things about a strength, or then it's vulnerabilities that you have to be aware of also. So kind of just like your conflict kind of personality, I guess, in your certain situations, right? It's it's being aware of, I might be this and that's okay. How do I apply that to certain situations?
Yep. Correct. And then also trying to understand. So for me, there was a large part of it too, about then reflecting on, and when you go through the assessment for yourself, you start thinking about those that are around you.
Right.
So I start thinking about my spouse and I start thinking about, I wonder how he defaults in these situations. And also, I wonder how my coworkers, so I wonder the people that I work with here at FCSA, how are they defaulting to in these situations? And what if I see signs that someone, for instance, is being an avoider, maybe then that's when I need to pause, step back, and maybe ask a question.
Yeah.
Like, hey, Gabby, what do you think about this? Or where are you? Because maybe if they're in that avoiding situation at this point in time, maybe I can draw out something from them that otherwise they wouldn't be comfortable sharing.
Yeah, for sure. Have you taken the Crucial Conversations class?
I have.
Because I feel like this is a really great partnership of something that you're learning outside for your program or your course and something you can partner with in kind of that ODL space.
Yes. And so this would be my third kind of shout out to ODL and the fantastic offerings that they have here. And this kind of gets to, I think, with this program that you're doing, Gabby, too, just recognizing there are so many great ways that FCSA enables our teammates.
Yeah, that's
they
great.
They provide, you know, a lot of great resources through ODL internally. They allow you and they give you tuition remission to go and to seek out some of these larger classes you're doing, et cetera. So there's just a lot of great resources available to us here.
Yeah.
So yes, I guess to talk to that, there are a lot of overlaps with that. And that's really when you start to dive into some of the stuff. So I'll get to kind of that second piece. So I mentioned to you there were two pieces.
Yes.
So the second one is really the ways in which to negotiate. And so something that was very powerful to me here is that often people will state, and this kind of gets to what you were talking about with that class too, internal, we often state a position that we are wanting. And we kind of do it as a hardball. This is what I want. It's decided. Give it to me. The other person does the same thing. This is what I want. Give it to me. We don't actually stop to ask ourselves or ask the other person, why is it that we want that?
Right.
And so really one of the biggest things that I got out of this class is people will state their positions, but to be an effective negotiator, you need to try to understand the underlying interests of those positions that they have stated.
Yeah.
And so really, like, when you find yourself butting up against someone, stop and ask, hey, I'm intrigued. What is it about that, that you're desiring here? Or, you know, tell me more. I'm trying to understand.
Right.
Something to dig into it. And so when you state a position, it's very likely that that position will conflict with someone else's position.
Right.
But if you dive into those underlying interests,
yep,
it's very easy to find common threads.
Yep.
And once you understand that you have like common interests, now you can start to align on what those common interests are. Mm-hmm. And you can build out a new position that actually will work for both of your underlying interests.
Right.
But you have to pause and you have to ask that person what their interests are. And you actually have to take time to understand, which kind of gets to that crucial conversation.
Right.
With, you know, you will, like in that class, so again, shout out to ODL, you will often be like telling yourself stories.
Yes.
But instead of telling yourself stories, actually stop and have a conversation and ask the person what's important to them. And you'll find that you're, instead of telling yourself stories, you're now not just dealing with opinions, but you're actually dealing with facts,
right,
of what they're thinking, what they're seeing. And now you can build off of that.
Yeah, getting to the root of it.
Yes.
Really. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So I guess the question is, what's next for you? You said you were graduating in May, so
yes,
congratulations.
Thank
to
you.
That. When you went to seek out this program, what made you decide to choose this? What's your end goal?
Yeah, so this is, and I think this will be my last shout out. So one of the reasons why I actually love this program, the Mint, so much, and now it's actually called MS in Business Analytics because they've changed the name of some. But what I really love about this program is that over 50%, so you have to get 33 credits, but 18 of them are electives that you get to choose from.
Nice.
And that's really powerful, where you can customize. A lot of times programs are, you're going to learn this. And so I really loved having that flexibility where you could dive in and kind of look at different pieces like that. So what drew me to this elective was really that as part of my job as Scrum Master, it's all about how do you help to engage the team? How do you help to grow the team? And you have to recognize that conflict is just natural. Like it's there all the time around us. And so instead of being afraid of it, instead of being the avoider of it, let's actually like better understand how to deal conflict with your team. And then, so that was kind of what drew me to the class. But then often there's unintentional when you do something, there's often this, wow, I did not know I was going to get that out of this,
right,
but that's really impactful to me.
Yeah.
So as I was kind of thinking about those positions, one of the other things I'm doing and I'm currently working on is I'm working towards some coaching certifications right now.
Nice.
And so often with coaching in general, people will come to you with a problem. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, that problem is a position.
Right.
Really.
Right.
They've thought through it in their head. And
they've established what they feel. Yep.
And then boom. So you have a position that this person's in, but they're stuck. And so one of the biggest things that like I was able to take away from this class and actually apply it to this coaching certification I'm working towards is that, how do I dive down underneath that? And so when you're going for, so I'm going for my my ICF certification.
Okay.
And I'm going for the second level, so the PCC. And really when you're going, so at the first level, you're all about coaching the person's problem. At the second level, you're all about coaching the person to self-solve their problem.
Nice.
To be able to get to that level, what you have to be able to do is you have to understand. So as a coach, you don't really care what the problem is. This seems weird.
Yeah.
You care about the person.
Yeah.
And so you care about and you're focusing on, why is this problem matter to that person?
Right.
And then you start to dive into, what is it about this problem that the person is actually upset about? And so you're diving into these underlying mental models and actually working with those and understanding why, where is the person getting stuck internally?
Yeah.
And then by talking through that, the person is then able to actually self-solve their own problem.
Yeah.
And furthermore, that person understands themselves and their own capabilities so that they can self-solve future problems versus having to come back to you to work through it.
Yeah. It's like adding a tool to your toolbox.
Absolutely.
And understanding what a screwdriver versus a hammer can do to solve your problems.
Yes. And that's, how do you want to use the screwdriver versus the hammer, et cetera? And which one, you know, so often too, when you're working on something, is recognizing that how, Gabby, you would do something and solve a problem might be very different than how I will solve the same problem.
That's a great point.
And so figuring out what works for you.
Yeah.
And so I love the fact that this class often, and with a lot of these classes, like you start diving into, you're like, oh, wow, this is really cool. But hey, I could also apply it here, here, and here, and here. And so that's the powerful part to me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It sounds like you were able to apply it at work, at home, kind of everywhere.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. And really diving into just understanding different, like so much of it is reflectively looking at, okay, wow, like some of the different ways in which I've done it work where, if I could do that again, I would try it differently. But now I've thought about it. And so the next time I do it, I can actually try to implement it.
Yeah. All about that application.
Yep.
For sure. Okay. So last question that I have is, what advice would you give to someone who maybe is just starting to think about, hey, I've been at work a little bit, or I'm looking to expand my skills. What does that look like for me for next steps?
I think it goes back to what we were talking about, Gabby, that really know yourself, know what works for you, and do a little bit of experimenting.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to say that you can't take, for instance, a course. Like many, for instance, if you want to go the graduate route, or if you want to go with your undergraduate thing, many programs will actually let you visit as a student, take one or two courses, and then you can try it out and see if it works for you.
Yeah, that's great.
Alternatively, recognize that, you know, there are so many paths for further educating yourself. There are audiobooks, there are Kindle books, there are just so many different options. Really just do some experimenting and find what works for you.
Yeah, that's great. Well, awesome, Ted. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Awesome.
Thank you for having me and kicking off our series. So we wanted to thank you all who tuned in and listened. Can't wait to have you all come back for our next episode, in which we'll continue our back to school series. And have a great day.